I'm Coach Jake. This is Coach Bob right here. Coach Josh is right around here somewhere, and Wayne as well. And we call ourselves coaches, all the leaders here at Maywood, because we believe as leaders at church, we're supposed to be equipping you guys, helping you guys get out on the field serving God, that we're all a team here, and that we only succeed as the body of Christ when we're all doing it together. So, Coach Bob, will you lead us in prayer?
I'll do it. I'd be glad to. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for what we've just heard from Josh. Thank you for the music that we've been able to participate in, singing our songs of praise to you. Thank you for classes that we've been a part of. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, we invite you to work with us today. You know, and Lord, we just bring to you the needs of people that are sitting right here and some who can't be here because they're ill. Lord, we ask that you come and do what only you can do in our lives. Bless Jake and me as we talk and help people as they listen to really hear and to leave here at least with one really good thing. And, Lord, best of all would be to meet you personally and to live with you. So we ask for that. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're going to get started today, and we're right back into our communication series, which if you haven't been here recently, what we're doing each week is looking at what are some of the best principles for how we communicate with other people. And I think we probably all could use some help there. But then applying that to how do we take those same principles and apply them to our relationship with God. God has a personality, God has emotions, and we can have a friendship, a relationship with God. And so those same good practices of how to be a good friend or be a good communicator can apply to our relationship with God. So we've been talking, you know, it's about communication. Most of the time when people think of communication, it's like this picture. They think of speaking. But we've talked a lot about listening so far. The first 2 weeks were mostly about listening. This week is going to once again be about listening. You might think, like, why do we keep talking about listening? Well, Bob and I, as we're preaching this stuff every week, we're also living our lives, and we've both been talking about, like, man, I have messed up being a good listener. And then my thought is we probably all could use some more help. How do we actually be a good listener? When it comes to communication, if you become a good listener, you're going to be a good communicator. That's most people where they mess up at is in their listening skills. But today, we're going to get right down, we're going to drill down into a very specific tool set for listening. So we've talked kind of practically or broadly about listening. Today, we're going to talk about active listening. And you may have heard of this before and maybe even made fun of it or joked about it before. Because active listening is that listening style or like counselors traditionally will use of like, so you're telling me that your feelings are this. And you just kind of repeat back or parrot back what they've done. And so I might say like, Bob, I'm really hungry. I'm going to go to Chipotle for lunch.
Why in the world are you doing that, Josh? Not Josh, excuse me, Jake.
Jake, yeah.
I'm sitting by Josh.
You're fine, you're fine. I'm going to Chipotle today.
Are you
to
really?
Get some food, yeah.
So what's the deal? I mean,
well, I'm hungry.
I thought you weren't going to go there anymore.
No, I never said that.
Huh?
I don't know what we're doing now.
Where's this coming from?
Where's Jay? It coming from? Well, I was hungry. I mentioned that.
Man, so this is not how to talk to one another. All
so,
right. So what would active listening look like?
What would it look
Ask
like?
Ask me about lunch.
Bob, where are you going for lunch?
I don't know. Tony, where's Tony? I don't know. I don't ever get to eat lunch on time on Sunday.
Wow.
What's the deal?
So every Sunday you eat lunch late?
Well, lots of times, you know, yeah, it really happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell me more about that. Why does that happen?
You're part of the fault.
I'm part of the fault. There we go. Okay.
If you didn't preach so long, we could get out sooner.
Yeah. Well, I think this is where the silence part acts. I'm just going to let you keep going.
You all get the idea.
But active listening, you know, we make fun of it sometimes. If you've ever been in a conversation with someone where they say, like, oh, I think you're saying this, it can get a little goofy pretty fast. And if you're having a conversation about we need to get to the hardware store, and they're saying, well, you know, why do we need to get to the, or, you know, so you want to get to the hardware store? Well, yes, I just said that. Well, okay, you're in a hurry, I can tell. Is that how you're feeling? That's what it seems like. So it can get a little goofy, and it's not really appropriate to use in every circumstance. If you're just trying to get facts across, active listening is probably not really needed. And so as I was thinking about it this week, I thought active listening is kind of like a good set of work boots. And that's kind of a really random analogy, but if you'll stick with me, this is a picture of me, I don't know how long ago, but it was my second summer in Mexico building houses, and I'm just wearing tennis shoes in this picture, even though we're pouring a foundation. And it's because I grew up not knowing anything about construction, so I just started doing construction in tennis shoes. Well, you beat up your feet pretty bad doing construction in tennis shoes, but I didn't know any better than that. And after I'd been doing it for a couple summers, my dad said, I'm going to buy you a pair of work shoes, which I'm glad he bought them, to be honest, because they were the most expensive shoes I've ever bought before. But so he bought me these work boots that are right here. And the thing I found out right away about work boots is if you're going and you're dealing with a bunch of rebar and concrete, that work boots are incredible. You know, your feet, you've got steel toes, your feet feel invincible. Your feet feel better at the end of the day. You can, if rebar is out of place in the foundation, like you can literally just like kick it into place. It's like, yep, like you can do whatever you want. But when I'm in Mexico, people have soccer balls all the time. People want to come around and play soccer with you. They're terrible. You're worried you're going to crush some poor little kid's foot with your steel toes. And sometimes in Mexico, I'd have to go run somewhere to go get something. Running in work boots is not good either. Your knees hurt afterwards. So it's not an everyday shoe. It's awkward right now to be here on a Sunday morning wearing work boots. It's just like, that doesn't make any sense at all. But if there's a specific situation, work boots are awesome. They're great in the right situation. And that's what active listening, it's awkward and may even hurt somebody if you use it at the wrong time. But I want to tell you, when is it the right time to put these kind of work boots on of listening? So, Bob, do you want to go through those with us while I lace these up?
So you do it when people are emotional. I was trying to be emotional a moment ago with Jake about lunch, and we will go somewhere to lunch. And Jake and I will try to get you all out to lunch on time also. But when people are emotional, I learned this little tip in counseling. It's tremendous. When people are emotional, it's time to listen. It's not time to tell. It's not time to judge. It's not time to tell your story. It's not time to talk. We'll cover some of this. When people are emotional, listen. If you listen, you will see the emotion drain. And then if you have something you want to say and you stick it in there, the emotion will usually go right back up. And when it goes right back up, you go right back into listening, and it'll drain back down again. And you just kind of go up and down a little bit. And if you do a really good job of listening, the emotions can kind of just dim down, okay? So you've got... We went back to work boots.
Went back to work boots. Oh, sorry. I clicked on accident.
So when you don't understand is another time. So if we're talking about something that's really complicated rather than our craziness about where we're going to go to eat. If we're really talking about something, if you hear somebody out and you ask meaningful questions, then they can clarify what they mean, okay? And then if you're talking to somebody and they don't feel understood, and that happens a whole lot. Then you stop and you listen and you ask appropriate questions. So those are three really good places to go.
Yeah, and remember, just like with work boots, I'd never had work boots before. And when I got them on, I just thought, wow, why was I ever doing construction without work boots? Like, this is incredible. It takes me to a whole nother level of ease and safety, and like I'm able to get more done. And when you start active listening, next time, you know, if you... come home and you say, like, I got a new job, and then your wife starts crying and you're like, well, I don't understand what just happened. Like, then that's the time for active listening. You don't understand, then you start listening, you start asking questions that dig at the emotion, and it'll be like a pair of work boots on. Like, you'll be able to get stuff done way better than you ever thought, and like much more comfortably. And you're thinking, like, why did I not do this in the past? But if you don't even know the person or something, and you can get yourself into some trouble, you know. But we're going to give you guys three tips on how do we do this active listening thing right. How do we do it well? The first one is incredibly simple, but is that you care about the other person. I was talking to Joe, actually, yesterday. He was talking about active listening and that he first tried it out after he learned it with someone he met on a plane that he didn't know, and it led to a really crazy conversation. It got really deep, real fast, and way in areas that Joe didn't want to take it in. Because you just start telling people, oh, how did that make you feel? And you get into some weird spots with people. And it's just like playing soccer with work boots on. You know, you don't want to do that. But if you really care about the other person, if you're close with them, that's the right time to do active listening. The problem for most of us is most of the time when we're talking to somebody, it's more about what can you do to me, for me? or what am I going to say next? Or sometimes it's, I want to impress you. I know that's why we got this little tag, hello, I'm awesome. Bob's got some stories about.
And they're not good. That name tag is actually for me. And I do, that's right. I do a pretty good, that's right. In my mind, I really do think I'm that important. I'm serious. It's crazy. It's horrible. And so if you've got a story, I've got a better one, you know. And while you're telling your story, I'm thinking about my story to tell. And while you're talking, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to you while you're talking to me. And sometimes while you're talking to me, if you're my wife, I'm actually fiddling with my phone, which is really bad. That's right. So I can give you a lot of things that are not good because at the bottom, and this is really the truth. We're going to have fun with this a little bit today, as you can see. But there's a lot of truth. At the heart of if I think I'm awesome, and quite frankly, I do way too much, that makes me not a good listener. Okay, Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself. And the lack of listening that I do to people or that you do to people reveals how little we really love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, so I can tell you lots of stories. Ernie and I were having lunch the other day, and a lady just had a baby, one of our waitresses, and she said, I'd like to show you a picture of my baby. And I said, great, I'll show you a picture of my grandson immediately. I know she had to see my grandson. No, she didn't. She wanted to show me her baby. You know? So I'm the only one here that does this, right? All right? And so, thank you. So at the heart of this is for us to say, I'm going to stop. And it takes discipline for me, because I will tell you something. Every time you start telling your story, I have one in my head ready to fire away. And I'm a storyteller, and I like to tell stories, okay? And I'm really trying to train myself to zip my lip and to realize I don't have to say something, okay? And that is an expression of caring for other people, all right? And I do it professionally through the week. It's my job, listening to people. But when I get home, my most important job happens when my wife wants to tell me about her day, okay? Does she know I care about her because I sit down and I look at her and I listen to her and I appreciate what she has to say to me? Now, I'm telling my story, kind of laying my stuff out here. You think about yours. What role do you play? All right, so that's enough of that.
Yeah, and we've got some great tips and wisdom from here on out about how to communicate well. If you just do this one, you'll be a pretty darn good communicator. You'll actually have good relationships. If you just change your own heart and say, I actually care more about the other person than I do about myself. I'm going to talk with them, but actually be interested in them. You'll actually have really good relationships. Even if you're bumbling around not knowing what else you're doing, you'll stumble into pretty good relationships if you actually care more about the people around you than just showing how awesome you are. So our next step here, though, we get into some of the practical steps with how does active listening work? How do you put these boots on? When somebody brings up something emotional, something you don't understand, or they're giving you this vibe of they don't seem like they think you're on the same page, one of the best things you can do is just shut your mouth and listen. Silence is a big part of listening is just being silent. If you, instead of saying something right away after the first sentence from somebody, let them stop talking. Like, let them talk until they stop. Challenge yourself with that. You'll find like, whoa, it's not very often that I let a pause happen in a conversation. Normally, I'm jumping in as soon as a syllable is finished. You know, like I don't even let a word finish. I jump in. Well, if you're just silent, though, if you're just a blank wall, some point people will stop talking, and you do have to keep the conversation going. So use the right words, though. Like in this little cartoon, it says, what concerns me is, da-da-da-da, and then the guy's saying, what I heard you say is, or you could have this idea of, like, tell me more, or so you felt this when that happened. Now, why is that so important? Why is it so important that we repeat? They already told us. I already heard them. Why do I need to repeat it? Well, yesterday I was in a group conversation, but somebody modeled active listening really well for me. This lady was sharing about how she is having trouble at her house because she's got this one kid at home is really, really disrespectful, and so she's got this huge problem. So she talks about that a little bit, and there's a pause. Now, most of us would either ask a probing question about, like, well, what does he do? Is he out after curfew or da-da-da-da-da? Try to get to details. That's not what you do if you're active listening. Some of us would say, like, oh, yeah, kids today, you know, they're terrible. They're jerks compared to how they used to be. Or they might tell a story.
Let me tell you about my kids.
Right.
That's right.
So there's all sorts of things you could say. Or you could say, well, you know what you need to do is you just need to make them write, you know, the whole book of Proverbs out or something. You give them some sort of advice. But what this person did, I was really impressed with it, is they said, yeah, so, you know, this they had his name. They said, so this child is being real disrespectful at home. They said something just along those lines. They just kind of repeated what they said. And here's what the mom said. She said, yeah, and when he's disrespectful, I just feel like I'm being a terrible mom. Like, I just worry that, like, I'm not a good mom. And that took the conversation a whole nother direction. If we had given some sort of advice as a group about, like, oh, yeah, what a punk kid, and you just need to do this to the kid. But, yeah, just beat him or something. If we had taken it that way, that wasn't the real problem. I mean, there is a problem there with how he's acting. But the real thing that she wanted to share, the thing she's feeling, is I doubt myself as a parent. I don't feel confident in myself as a mom. That was the real issue. But you never get there if you start asking probing questions or if you start trying to solve this random problem. You never get to the real problem. So when you put your work boots on and you just start repeating what they're saying and understanding it. And it's like when we would build a house in Mexico, the first thing we would do is show up to the house with a measuring tape. Didn't bring any other tools, just a pencil, a measuring tape, piece of paper. You just survey. You just say, like, where do you want the doors? Where do you want the rain to fall off the roof? Where do you want this stuff to happen? We don't bring a hammer. We don't bring any wood or any concrete with us. Like, when you're active listening, you're not building a solution. You're there to survey the lay of the land. You don't bring any tools to build something. This is all about, we just want to understand what's actually here. And after you've had a big conversation and they feel understood and you actually understand them, then you guys can figure out, like, okay, do we need to build something here? Do we need to solve something or work in some direction? But imagine if we had taken that mom and tried to solve her kid. That wouldn't have really helped anything. But now we know she's got a problem if she doesn't feel like she's a good mom, and that's a whole nother issue. So that's why creating space is important. You create the space for them to actually share. People right off the bat won't share the deep stuff that's going on. Just like last week we talked about the onion theory. They're not just going to share the deepest stuff inside of them right off the bat. You know, diamonds aren't just sitting there right on the surface of the ground. You know, you got to dig a little deeper. So you got to create the space for them. You got to just let them have the space. Draw it out with tell me more. Draw it out with so you felt this way when that happened. So that's the active listening step. We've told you we got to care. We got to make space. What do we not do? Oh, sorry. We got a good story.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
We're going to go quick because I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah.
So y'all, we're gonna talk fast. You're going to listen fast because we are going to go get food on time, all right? Just want y'all to know. This is something I picked up from James Dobson. Listened to him on the radio back several years ago. I've repeated it I don't know how many times. Had somebody this week come and say, hey, that really works. Here's the deal. The first 5 minutes that you are home from work with your spouse will set the tone for the evening, all right? And so if when you come home and your loved one gives you a list of things that need to be done verbally, do this, do this, do this, that sets the tone for the evening. If, on the other hand, you come home and the first thing is, hey, how was your day? Tell me about your day. What's going on? And then followed up maybe with a big hug and a kiss after that dialogue back and forth, it literally sets the tone for the evening. The person who came and told me that, I had told her about this, and she had done it, and she stopped to say it made a huge difference in their marriage. So give it a shot, okay? Now, problems.
Okay, so what you don't do in relationships is you don't assume that you already know. We have an angry married couple up here. They're, I don't want to say older. I said older in the first service.
Oh, let me do it. I'll say
it.
Listen, one of the real dangers of folks our age who've been married 30-plus years or who've been around our spouse that long, one of the real dangers is we assume we know who they are. and we assume we can complete sentences that they speak. And we you know, I don't know, maybe you've not been married quite 35 years, have you?
Well, I haven't. I will say, if I could do this, though, which is exactly what I always do, I get in trouble with, is there's a verse in Proverbs that says that he who speaks without listening, that's his folly and his shame, or answers before listening. And constantly, Christy can tell you, she's probably smiling over there, constantly I interrupt her halfway through a sentence and try to answer the sentence, and it drives her nuts, as it should. And then as I was reading the Bible, I'm like, oh, yep, I'm an idiot for doing that. If you interrupt people in the middle of their sentences, the Bible tells us that's, you're a fool. That's a shameful thing to do. And so even you know, whether you've been married 3 years, 30 years, I think we make this mistake. We assume we know how to fix the person. We know how to solve the problem. We know what the problem is. And if you assume that you already know, then there's no point for active listening. Just take your active listening boots right off. If you already have all the answers, why even talk to the person? Okay, so if you're trying to actively listen, it's not about solving the problem right then. It's not about jumping to a conclusion. I'm actually just trying to say, I want you to tell me what's happening. I want you to explain it to me. I'm not going to jump to the conclusions. So we always try to take these lessons and apply them to our relationship with God. We think about active listening for God. First thing I got to say is it's not this. It's not coming to God and say, I got my hand out. I need something. Now, the Bible's real clear. God tells us in Psalms that he wants us to run to him with his problems. Okay? If we really trust and love God, when we have a crisis, we're going to pray. We're going to go to him. So I'm not saying never ask God for stuff, but that's not, your active listening boots are not on when you're asking for something. When you're saying, God, help me with this, you're not listening actively to God. And there is a time to actively listen to God, though. There's a time that says, God, I care enough about you and I don't fully understand you, or I'm emotional. I want to get on the same page with you. So the same things happen in our relationship with God, and sometimes it's time to maybe say all the requests, get those out of the way, and then say, now it's time for me to listen. I want to actively listen and understand God. So same steps. We talked about caring about God. A lot of us care about what God can do for us. I want to make sure I'm not going to go to hell, or I want to make sure that I get this new job, or I need God to change my cousin, or whatever it is. A lot of us care about what we think God can do for us. But how many of us actually care about God? We talked about last week getting to those layers with God, sharing our emotions with God, hearing God's emotions, actually falling in love with God as we read the Bible or as we talk with him. So caring about what God actually, who God actually is that first step to being able to listen to God.
Let me just chime in real fast. Went to the drive-thru at McDonald's on Friday. We've got a little guy over at Fairmount Elementary. He and I eat lunch together. And so I went by. Here's my order. I'd like a number 10. That's 8 chicken nuggets, sweet and sour dipping sauce, French fries. Sorry, folks. I know. It's getting close to 12. And 3 of your cookies, chocolate milk, and a large coffee. I was going to have the coffee. He had the rest. Okay? Now, as I got to the window, they were pleasant, they were nice. I got my change, got extra dipping sauce, which was great, and the order was perfect. Now, here's the interesting thing. No relationship with anybody. I don't know the name. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what they're thinking about. They knew my order. We went through. I was out and gone in 5 minutes. Does that sound like anybody's prayer life? God, I like this, I'd like that, I need this. My brother, just like you said, my cousin needs to get fixed. I don't know who your cousin is, but probably does need to get fixed. You know, I need all of this stuff. And, you know, but the truth is, have we built a relationship? So we got to show our care about God.
Yeah. This next one we talked about already a little bit 2 weeks ago. We had this picture of this chair. We talked about spending a special space with God, creating space with God in your house, some sort of spot that you would go and pray and talk to God. Same idea, just like the conversation with the mom and her problems really coming out when there was a little bit of silence and the right questions. When you're talking with God, if you really want to get to the deeper levels with God, you got to be silent. And that's, I know, hard for us to just sit there and say, like, God, I asked you a question. Now I'm going to sit here quietly. Then the next piece is maybe you got to ask the right words. And the active listening words, even though it sounds goofy in our conversations, it's pretty fitting with God. Of, I think you said this, am I right, is actually really fitting with God. Maybe you think the guy wants you to go tell your mother-in-law that she, you know, did something wrong. Well, I think it's a good idea to say, God, I think you said this. Is that right? Before you run off and do something silly. Or when you're reading the Bible and you see Jesus do something that you don't really understand why Jesus was so aggressive about something. Well, then you see it and say, Jesus, I think you were saying this. Is that right? So those sorts of conversations are real fitting with God to talk over, like, this is what I'm interpreting from you. Is that actually what's going on? And to check with God about what's going on. Or to say, God, man, God, it is so incredible how faithful you are. Tell me more about that. Or so incredible what you're doing in Detroit. Tell me more about that. Those sorts of questions will open up a new area to your relationship with God. So creating space with God. The third one is probably our most important one we want to focus our time on is don't assume you already know. This kind of goofy, I've got all the answers, guys. We all know someone like that. We probably don't like that person very much. The reality is that we all have a little piece of that in us. We have a little piece of that, like, oh, I already got these answers. And if you've been sitting in this pew for more than a couple weeks, you probably have a little bit of this in your relationship with God or in the things of God. You probably think, like, I already got that figured out. I've already heard a lesson about that. I already know about how to get to heaven. I already know who's right and who's wrong. I already know about forgiveness. I already know that that person's doing it wrong, that that church is doing it wrong, or that that family is doing it wrong. When we assume we already know, when you assume something, like I said, there's no real point to having a conversation. It's like plugging your ears. You can't learn anything more. If you already have the answer, you're not open to anything else. And the problem with us, with God, it gets us into a lot of problems in relationships. When you assume you know what your wife wants, you can get yourself into some trouble. But at least we're both humans. At least we're both close, like on the IQ scale and stuff like that. You know, at least we're in the same ballpark. So when you assume that you know everything about God, you assume you have all the answers about how we should be living this Christian life, then you've cut yourself off from learning more. You said, this is as much as I'm going to learn about forgiveness. Or this is as much as I'm going to learn about how my lifestyle should be. Or this is as much as I'm going to learn about parenting. Or much as I'm going to learn about what a husband should be like. I have it figured out. I already know. And so when you hear a new sermon about it, you just kind of tune out. You already know about that. Or when a new situation comes on your doorstep, you think, well, I already have this figured out. I don't need to talk to God about it. Or I don't need to listen to God about today. I have my day all planned. I don't need to ask God what I'm supposed to do. So we want to lay some truth on you about from the book of Isaiah. Here's something. If you've been at church for a long time, you might think, I've got forgiveness figured out. I understand how forgiveness works. When it comes to getting right with God, I know how that works. Well, this is what God says about getting right with him. He says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God and he will freely pardon. Now, if you've been at church for a long time, you've probably heard this idea that no matter what you've done in your past, if you're willing to say, I'm done with my old life, I want to start fresh, God will say yes to you. Now I could have asked more than half the people in this room and they could have given me basically that answer. That if you're willing to start fresh with God, God will start fresh with you. Here's the thing though, if we had a video montage of everybody's life in this room, or even just one person's life, and we showed just all the bad stuff that Eric's done in his whole life, and then we had any jury from America, any 12 people, and we said, well, Eric's willing to say he's sorry and to start over. Does that make up for everything? And they had just watched this, you know, huge video of everything he'd done wrong. And Eric said it'd be huge. So I don't think there's a jury here. I don't think there's 12 random people in America that would be like, oh, yeah, that makes up for all that bad stuff. No, they'd be like, oh, that thing he did to that girl or that thing that he did to those people. They'd be angry about it. They'd say, you got to really make amends for that. I don't think we really understand how God's grace works. And that's really that's the start of our whole relationship with God. I might say I don't think we understand it. Here's what God says about it. Here's how he explains it. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. He's saying, I'm different than you. You know, we've all been around people so long, and we're kind of used to people. When we interact with God, when we talk with God, we're talking to somebody who's not just one of us. Okay? He is bigger than us. Here's how he sums it up. He doesn't pull any punches. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's saying, I'm bigger than you. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm holier than you. I think on a whole nother level. It's like when you're a little kid and you're in some giant place with one of your parents or with some adult and you have no idea where you're going and all you can do is just hold their hand. They know where they're going and you just got to go along with them. When we're walking with God, he's bigger than us. He's always going to be bigger and better. And as soon as we say, I have it figured out, we've cut ourselves off to learning anything else about God in that area. As soon as we say, I know it all, in that area, we've cut ourselves off. And let me tell you, Bob and I, we love Jesus. There's a lot of stuff that we don't have right about God still. There's a lot of things about God that we at least don't have the full picture of, that we don't have full understanding of. God told us to be a part of a body to help with that, because all of us together see God better. But he's also telling us right here, we got to have an open mind. If you plug your ears with God, it's bad news. So this active listening stuff, really important. I'm going to hand it off to you.
Let me tell us a story real quick, and then we're going to invite you to respond. And Jake and I had too much fun, and we took a little too long. Forgive us. But back in the ancient world, where before all the radio frequencies and all of that, the way ships communicated with one another was with a, they had a big light out there, and they'd flip it, and they'd do Morse code. And there was a battleship on a foggy night that was just steaming straight ahead and picked up a faint glow of a light. And so the captain had them flash and said, move to the right. And the ship flashed back and said, I can't. And so the captain was upset and flashed, I am a battleship. Move to the right. And the response was, I can't. I'm a lighthouse. Some of us are steaming straight ahead in our life. And Jesus is shining his light, but we think we know in the fog and in the dimness. Okay? So today is a day for us to say, Lord, you are the lighthouse. You speak to me. I will put aside all those crazy things I think about you, and I'm really going to hear you. You come and work with me. Okay? Let's stand, please. Worship team's going to come. You respond as God speaks. Jake, why don't you lead us?
I had a quick thing I want to share with you guys that's really important about this final time here. Josh and I got a chance to talk right after the first service. This response time, I know it's close to noon. I know we're fidgety. But this is a time for people to come down and to say, here's what's on my heart, God. I want to be closer to you. And I understand if you have to get up and leave or something like that, that's fine. But please be respectful that there are people that their lives are changing right down here up front. We invite anybody who wants to come and pray with us. But whatever you do today, please don't take away from what other people are trying to do with God. God, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that you are bigger and better than us. God, we put our hope in you and our trust in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.